Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. My name's Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Oh, man. If this was a video podcast, my goodness, would you laugh with us right now?
I had to remember what to say. Calm down.
It hasn't changed in like 211, 212, whatever run.
Why, whose fault is it that we have to do these podcasts while I'm very tired?
It's your fault. People that I work for.
It's your fault.
My supervisor that feels like I should be on the ship.
Whatever.
All right. It was very tempting to name specifics there, and I stopped myself. It's like, I should probably be a little vague about who these people are.
Yeah. Wrestling.
Sure, wrestling.
So, you saw Raw this week.
I did.
I saw Raw this week.
I assume so.
Are you feeling as, like, detached from this whole thing as I am?
In what way?
So, I feel like everything they're doing is a bizarre idea to try and get Reigns over. Because it all seems very clearly attempted to get Reigns over.
Right.
And so it's like, it's things like, we'll keep him off the show so they can't boo him.
Right. But I had a thought about that because the focus on this week was Dean.
Right.
And how do you focus on Dean without Brock there? You have this whole weird like side story with Triple H. Now we know that, you know, because you asked for a
championship match,
and I'm like, that's kind of weird for you to do, you know, in the middle of a feud with Brock.
Yeah.
But we now know that there's going to be another one of the live specials in Toronto where the main event is going to be a championship match.
At Roadblock. So.
And it's going to be like, yeah, this is basically going to be a house show that's going to be on the network.
I feel like they were like, all right, we need another, you know, road or driving themed title for this brand new network special. And there's somebody back in the room who's like, don't worry, I already have Transformers pages pulled up on Wikipedia. Just go down until we find the right Transformer.
So it's okay. So how do we book this random show in the middle of the road to the WrestleMania? But we kind of have to stop focusing on, you know, our main guy that we want to focus on. Let's just stop the story in its tracks.
Yeah.
And just kill momentum that we have. What would we call that? A roadblock.
I mean, yeah.
Some would say WWE has been putting on roadblock for quite some time.
Welcome to the 1,156 episode of Roadblock, the longest running weekly episodic television show.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so so part of me wants to think, like, well, maybe they're keeping Roman off to maybe get kind of a return pop after a few weeks, and or if this is going to be our main event at this roadblock thing, you know, maybe we can kind of, like, shift the focus to Dean, kind of build that match up a little bit, even though it's, like, 2 weeks head notice.
I know, but it's
But then again, it's like, you still got WrestleMania, like, your big show, you need to focus on that.
Dean has to lose, right?
Absolutely.
If Dean wins, I'm totally on board. Let's see where this goes. This is exciting now. But for the sake of all argument worth having, Dean's going to lose.
Right.
Which means...
Which makes me assume that, like, some Brock run-in is going to happen.
So, it helps out in one sense that one problem I had with this Triple H title run was he won it in a skewed match coming in 30th at the Rumble.
Right.
And is going to lose it on his very first title defense. Not only his very first title defense, his very first match at WrestleMania. So at least having this match in here where he successfully is going to defend the title. That helps out a little bit. But then on the flip side, we're supposed to think that Dean can beat Brock when Dean can't even beat Triple H?
Yeah. That's why I'm assuming some sort of shenanigans is going to go down.
I guess.
Or they can just do it straight up and be like, how many people are really going to watch the show? It's like, well, it's on the same delivery platform as WrestleMania, yeah, so... Like,
theoretically, millions. Maybe.
Well, a million.
Yeah, 1 million at least, theoretically. Patrick will watch.
It took me a second, like, who the F is Patrick?
None of those others will, but Patrick will watch.
Good joke. Okay, And I kind of, we had a small conversation about this on our private messaging thing, where I pointed out, like, if they're using, or if they're taking Roman off TV for, you know, how many weeks leading up to WrestleMania, if that's their strategy, shouldn't that be a big warning sign that this isn't working, that that's their way to try to get him over, is literally not having him on the show?
So here's kind of how I'm looking at it at this point. So let's talk about our other favorite topic, Star Wars, for a minute.
Okay. I'm game.
So George Lucas doesn't care for Force Awakens. We pretty much, like, it's, he's never come out and said that, but, like,
he's kind of an ex-boyfriend.
He's given creative responses to the question that we can interpret that he's not the biggest Force Awakens fan.
Right.
And the reason...
He's not being, like, direct about exactly, right, like, thumbs up, thumbs down, but we can pretty much piece that together.
And his reasoning behind that, for the most part, is they don't do anything new with it. They kind of just, it's Star Wars' greatest hits, you know?
Right.
With,
which,
somebody
know,
lost on planet, they get swept into an adventure, they have to fight a big planet destroying thing. Like, it is Star Wars' greatest hits. Like,
right. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my, like, tiny little gripe that I had with it.
Yeah, and that's...
I liked it, but...
And it's the kind of thing where... But he really likes the prequels still and stands by the prequels. And whatever you feel about the prequels did some new stuff.
Sure.
Like, let's really delve into the plot. Like, prequels did new stuff. And George Lucas, because George Lucas has all the money George Lucas could ever spend, can make the movies that he wants.
Sure.
And, like,
if he wanted to make West Wing in space, they sure did a lot of walking and talking.
And I think there was probably some changes made from the original intent due to fan backlash. I think Jar Jar had a much more diminished role than he might have had in 2 and 3.
Beyond the first. Yeah, right. Beyond the first one, yeah.
But George Lucas, for the most part, stuck to his guns and was like, this is Star Wars 1, 2, 3, as I see them. Here they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at Vince McMahon as another eccentric billionaire. Eccentric in other ways, but another eccentric billionaire who has this story that he wants to tell. He's like, Roman is this guy, and that's what's going to happen. And Vince McMahon has plenty of money. So, if WrestleMania 32 makes $1 million more or less one direction or another, it's not really going to affect Vince McMahon's personal spending power.
No, it's not going to have anything. It's not going to touch any of his personal finances.
Yeah. So he will continue to live the same life that he has been living and will continue to live regardless of...
And same goes with the company, honestly.
Yeah.
They can take a hit.
Regardless of how this is, you know, this storyline plays out.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if he wants, if he's like, no, this is the vision as I see it, the storytelling that I'm doing, get on board or stop watching. Here is my story and my vision of this star rising to the top.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Because that's what sets it aside from, like, other TV shows. If the crowd doesn't, or if the audience doesn't respond to a season of TV show, they usually find a new showrunner or something like that.
Yeah.
You don't have that option in WWE.
So, I'm not happy about it, but, like,
it's, I can, like, what can we do?
I can have a weird begrudging respect for that, like,
sick
you know,
guns.
Yeah, here's the creative vision that I want to present, and here it is. You know, but what about, you know, like, stockholders?
Yeah.
And I don't know, because...
And that's the thing, like, you can creatively feel however you want about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stick to your guns however you want. But it's more difficult to do that when you have stockholders and sponsors to
appease.
To appease and to answer to.
Yeah.
You know, because they're essentially, for the company's sake, not necessarily Vince McMahon's personal finances, but as far as the company, that's the company's lifeblood.
Yeah.
Those two factors.
And
you know, when you have, when you're sitting, when you know, when you have stockholders and representatives from the sponsorships and everything sitting at your WrestleMania, and the ending isn't is having such a negative reaction to it.
And I don't know
what's going on.
I don't suspect that the really big stockholders are avid WWE fans.
No.
I think there's people on our level who have bought a stock so that they have an investment, because that's fun to do.
Sure.
Who do really care and are like, you're making this bad decision, and my $9 is becoming $8.37 because of your bad decision.
Sure, yeah.
But the big name guys,
the people that are actually on like the board and everything.
I don't think the people who have diversified portfolios and WWE just happens to be in there because it's a smart business decision.
Sure, yeah.
I don't think they're gonna be like, hey, I've been noticing over the past several weeks that Dean Ambrose has had a more positive reaction than I would like.
Right.
I don't think that's happening.
Probably not.
But what?
But clearly, like,
part of the difference where this differentiates from Star Wars is Star Wars was, here are three movies in 99, 2002, and 2005, and let me present them to you in their full and completed form. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
And Raw is on every week for 3 hours.
Sometimes they finishing the script hours, minutes before the show.
Almost. With, you know, additional Sundays happening once a month, sometimes more. And that's not even counting SmackDown, which takes place in the same universe.
Right.
So you have to stand by your creative vision. You have to watch it get booed week after week after week after week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gotta be hard.
It's gotta be some, like, if you're a major stockholder and
I'm not even thinking about stockholder. I'm thinking about, like, a person who is, like, Vince or, you know, other head writers, people who are creatively invested.
Right. It's gotta be a little soul crushing.
Yeah.
To see your work get booed because you're just following orders, essentially.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing with, like, Roman, and I'm pretty boo Roman here, but, like, Roman did everything he was supposed to do after last WrestleMania. You know, he checked all the right boxes. Things were looking better for him. We can specifically point to when they were in the same arena that they were in at Royal Rumble.
Right.
And he acknowledged it. Yeah, they were in Philadelphia, same arena, same, mostly the same fans. And he had a very positive reaction, especially compared to his Royal Rumble reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like, you know, things are going in the right direction. And then it's just like, nope.
Right.
And I'm in that boat of, I'm like, no, I don't want this. And I look forward to booing it.
Part of me is surprised that, you know, to give Philly a little bit of an out, he was up against Sheamus. Sheamus is an easy guy to boo.
Yeah, he was up against Sheamus.
For whatever reason that you want to exclaim, Sheamus is easy to boo.
But Philly is fine with booing everybody.
Sure, sure. But Sheamus especially. And so part of me is kind of surprised. We're like, well, we kind of want that reaction at WrestleMania. Main event Sheamus and Roman, you know?
I mean, I'm not mad at Philly for boo. I don't feel betrayed by Philly. Because
night that they cheered him, they booked that night very well.
I was supportive of Roman in that moment.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled to see a Roman and Triple H co-main event at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Like the not the main event, not the cooldown match, but the one right before that. The second most important match. I was okay.
Also, I want to draw a little comparison, okay?
Okay.
Last Monday night, think about everything that Dean went through.
Yes.
The beatdown with Brock. Another beatdown with Brock.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. You know. And driving an ambulance, still beat up, and got beat up again.
Yeah.
Compare that to what Roman went through.
Yeah.
Who's on Raw
next
week?
Who's on Raw asking for
the next week?
Asking, like, for the title.
I mean, if you're going to have him storyline take off for however many weeks you're gonna have it take off, you gotta level it out.
Yeah,
you know,
they are,
and turns out he actually did have surgery. He had a deviated septum, so Hooray for him.
I mean,
Roman, I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah. And he needed a surgery, and I get that. Like, surgery, and if you need a surgery, you need a surgery. If you can't be on Raw because of a surgery, you can't be on Raw because of a surgery.
I felt like they purposely timed. He could have waited.
Yeah, and I mean, like, deviated septum, bandage goes on your face, and he clearly got punched in the face. So, like, a bandage on his face isn't going to look out of place even if he wants to, like, via satellite it in.
Sure. Yeah, but not even that. Just, you know, calls via Dean. Like,
yeah.
Dean relaying messages. He's like, is that who's going to come get you? It's like, well, that sounded threatening.
Yes. Yeah. But I feel like they have to realize that they are building this very successful, very organic top face superstar in Dean. It's happening before their eyes. Yeah. And they're not exactly shying away from it. Like,
when Roman isn't there, they relied on Dean.
Yeah, there's stuff with the Punk series where, like, Punk got crammed back down.
Yeah.
And Bad News Barrett is the best example. Like, that's successful in a way we don't want. It's gone. And I feel like Dean is being successful in a way they don't want, specifically because it's taking away from Roman being successful.
Right.
It's making Roman look less successful by comparison. Mm-hmm. So, but they're not stomping it down.
Right.
And part of that is, like, I don't think they can afford to stomp it down. Like, Dean and Roman are all they got.
Yeah.
As far as real top face, you know, top tier faces.
Right.
That's all they got. And Roman's questionable at best.
Yeah. I just think it's funny. When it comes to Roman, it's like WWE just forgets how to book him successfully.
Yeah.
Like WrestleMania season. Like, I mean, granted, you know, last year that it helped that they, once they got the reaction that he did at that Royal Rumble, they had him work his butt off in tough matches leading up to WrestleMania, like almost every week. That helped. And then, from that point on, they kind of had that kind of booking theme from that point on. And then Royal Rumble, we pointed out, our biggest thing is we're supposed to cheer for Roman, but he basically rested through that entire thing.
Yeah,
you know.
I think.
And now they're doing it again between Fastlane and.
I think it hurts them. It hurt them last year that Roman was out the first. The last, like, 4 months of the year.
And they just kind
of
crowned him when he came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, and I think this year, I think there is some amount of still feeling the sting from last year. Where I'm like, it's like, you're trying it again.
Right.
And it's better this year, and it's more organic this year. But part of why I'm mad this year is like, no.
Right.
I said no last time.
Right.
Why do you, you know.
And
even though it makes more sense, it's not an outlandish setup now like it was last year.
And he's been in the main event pretty much most of the year since.
Yeah.
So him being in the main event now isn't necessarily a foreign concept. But at the same time, you're really trying to get him over by not having him
wrestle. And there is a certain type of fan that tunes in for this chunk of the year.
Sure.
And that fan usually has a friend or just a message board where they can be like, we like this person now, you know, for whatever changes that happened. And the response to Roman is like, well, eh.
Yeah.
I mean, more than last year, but kind of eh. So it's a lot easier to be like, no.
Yeah.
And
at the same time, if you have somebody who is not really in the know very much and they're just watching because they know WrestleMania is a big deal or whatever – everyone's talking about this Roman Reigns guy, and we're like, okay, where is he?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you have... And I guess in some aspects that kind of creates intrigue to those people, but it's also, you know, you can't really... You can't build anything with somebody that's not there. We learned that with Taker versus Bray Wyatt. Yeah.
There is also... That's the thing, is like, I don't know if this is Roman is off this week, or if Roman is off
until the
next couple weeks.
Whatever.
I mean, part of it is he apparently doesn't need to come back till Roadblock because we're building up for Roadblock all of a sudden.
Yeah. So I'm thinking he's going to be off next week as well.
So, and then after that, we're getting dangerously close to WrestleMania.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
So they bailed out of this. I mean, they had the idea, I'm sure before, but they bailed out of this last year mid-match. Like, You know, we were going through it like, which way are they going to go with this?
Right, yeah.
And they bailed out of having to make a decision mid-match.
And now they don't have that
security. And they don't have that,
the security blanket,
that, that net there. So, net.
Yeah, that too.
What is the latest they can reasonably bail out, still in storyline, without having somebody just come out and be like, I'm sorry, we can't, wait, sorry.
I don't know. Because it,
like,
because the more I think about it, like, they kind of, they waited probably as late as they could to add Daniel Bryan into the mix before 30.
Mm-hmm.
At least it felt that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from a booking and an advertising perspective, if you're going to, you need to make up your mind very, very soon.
Right.
Like, you need to make up your mind, like, a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
About that.
I mean, so that... Roadblock is a conceivable bailout point. They have Dean win, or, you know...
But they already made the graphics for Dean versus Brock, you know? Like, and, like, they already started advertising all this stuff.
I know, but I'm saying, like, the...
I'm not saying, like, that's insurmountable or anything. I mean, push comes to shove, let's throw it all at the wall in a fatal four-way. You know, Triple H, Dean, Roman, and Brock, who cares?
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like... So they could reasonably – they could not reasonably, but they could possibly bail out, like, go-home show where they're like, we can't do it. We're adding Dean to the mix. It's a triple threat.
Yeah.
And, like, at that point, you can't do that logically because there's no real storyline other than, like, okay, Dean's in there now too. Not saying WWE won't do that, because WWE has done that dumb level of booking.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, honestly, okay, so the latest they can possibly bail out, as far as I see it, like, if they're holding on, we, you know, is middle of WrestleMania, Shane beats The Undertaker,
And
gets
Shane
immediate power, and has some sort of instant booking claim.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, I mean, realistically, like, Roadblock would probably, like, be their last.
Roadblock would be much better.
And then, like I said, like, you know, you could still have the triple threat, at least, with Dean the champ. Roman is technically the number one contender. Triple H has, you know, got his rematch.
Yeah.
And then you would, I'm assuming at that point, you would probably need to throw Brock in, explain it somehow, because it's Brock.
All things considered, I don't think they are trying to break the record anymore. Like, it's just...
They're just trying to survive at this point with all the injuries.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, you remember rumored cards for, like, about SummerSlam?
Mm-hmm.
You had...
It feels like 50 to 75% of the people talking about are injured now.
We were pretty heavily rumored for, like, Undertaker Sting can't happen because of injury.
Yeah.
You know...
A lot of rumors were saying that this was going to be that we're going to get the Shield triple threat.
Yeah, we'll get a Shield triple threat. Not going to happen because of injury. There was, like, this... Stone Cold Brock situation that seemed very reasonable for a while.
Yeah,
you know,
it's definitely not.
This Ronda Rousey, Stephanie McMahon situation.
Holly Holm threw a big old wrench in that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, imagine going...
And then, you know, we were assuming Rock was going to be in a match.
Yeah.
Instead of just at the show.
Yeah, so imagine that's the kind of card that we were looking at now. And it's just like, we've watched this card dwindled away to, like, okay, here's what I have.
Yeah.
So.
Now they're just trying to get through it, essentially.
Yeah.
And hope for the best as far as crowd.
And, like.
I mean, they're still going to get a big crowd.
They'll get a big crowd. It's WrestleMania.
Yeah, and they got a huge venue.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be just fine.
I mean, it will look big. Like, it will look crowded there. But, you know, my biggest gripe is not that Roman is facing Triple H, because that's the story that's been building. And my biggest gripe is that that's the title match.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you just put the title on something else, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
All things considered. And I'm fine, all things considered, because you don't have that many toys to play with. You have Roman, Triple H, Brock, and Dean as your main guys.
Yeah.
That's all you have as a main event, right? And you have Undertaker.
Yeah.
But, like... That's what you have as far as a working, uninjured main event roster goes.
Yeah.
You just physically can't make 7-8 matches out of that.
No, especially with, you know, the lack of development in the undercard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm seeing, like, maybe little trickles of a story between Miz and Dolph. Maybe that they decided to finally to kind of recognize this week.
Yeah.
You got New Day and the weird, like, Cold War that they've got with League of Nations right now.
Yeah.
You've got the tag team between Chris Jericho and AJ Styles. I will not call them by that name. So dumb. And it makes... Okay.
Part of the reason that it's dumb is that...
Chris Jericho's 45.
Yeah, okay.
And he's not... He's proven a lot lately that he's getting up there in age. And his reverence is not, like, there.
He is getting comfortable in his 45-ness.
A little too comfortable.
No, part of the reason is that if there's one guy who you can really quick, you know, bump up to a main roster believability, it's AJ Styles.
And he's in a tag team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you can...
But the guy that loses every to everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can, you know, have some fancy matches, and you can rumble to WrestleMania this guy into a big main event feel match.
Also, part of that, like, they're leaning heavily, like, all these guys are just, like, the best friends now. And they're really leaning heavy into that, like, that kind of angle. Chris Jericho's going to turn on him, right? I don't know. Like, I have a feeling like he's going to turn on him, and we're going to get AJ Jericho 4 at WrestleMania.
I hate people being friends. Yeah. I'm just, like watching it this week, and I was like...
Unless it's New Day.
Unless it's New Day. But, like, just, you know... Weed's coming out to help his friend. I hate it. Maybe I'm a curmudgeon old, I don't like friendship thing anymore. But, like, just the... He's coming out because it's his friend. It's crapping up the whole Roman and Dean dynamic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, Dean's good enough to come give you a hand whenever you're in trouble, but Dean's going to lose to every single number one contendership match that you have.
But it's okay because you're friends.
Sure, yeah, whatever.
You know, helping us. Just, I hate it. I hate everything being friends. I hate tag teams being friends, and then somebody betrays it. How can he do that to his friend? And look at tag teams. They break up all the time.
Yeah.
It's
not a foreign cop.
I want a good, long-running tag team where they're like, you know what? I respect you. I feel like you got my back in the ring, and we can be successful together. Sure. I don't need this, like, thing where they hang out backstage and play friggin' twiddlywinks until, you know... Kane comes in and interrupts them from right off camera.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like that's happened, like, a couple times lately. Either that or just the tag team ended. Like, Primetime Players just ended. Yeah. You know, and they were going to push Titus, and you saw how that happened, and then Darren Young is kind of in obscurity right now.
Yeah.
Which is fine for me. Like, who cares?
Yeah. But, they were... And I don't necessarily, like... I'm not I hate the fact that they're friends,
yeah.
But just all these tag teams.
Like when it was time for Heyman to move on from Cesaro.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, Paul Heyman said something to effect of, you know, I still admire him. I think he's great. But this needs my attention, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever.
And that worked out fine for me.
Sure.
I have no problem with that.
Some would say that it probably did better for Cesaro at that point.
At that point.
Yeah.
Man, I miss Cesaro.
I do, too. I miss him and Seth.
Yeah.
This whole, like, little road WrestleMania thing would probably be a little bit better with Seth than involved.
I am really excited for, like, the road to Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Because, like, all these injuries have, like, a...
The Raw after WrestleMania is going to have so many returns.
All these injuries have, like, about a May return date on them. So, the Pocket of Suck's going to be great this year.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for the Pocket of Suck. But all these guys actually get to come back.
He's like, oh, Cesaro's going to come back, and we're probably going to be disappointed with them not using him correctly. But he's going to be back.
Yeah. He can join the club. So
the Baylor Club? The Bullet Club? I don't know which one's happening. They're very vague on which one's actually happening.
I'm assuming the Baylor Club is happening.
It's easier for them to get rights to that.
Yep. I'm assuming, like... They don't want all the t-shirts that say Bullet Club that they're not getting money for to keep going.
And we forgot to talk about that they made the Nakamura deal final. They actually, made it official.
I thought we talked about that last week.
No, because I remember I like kind of kicked myself right after we finished recording that. I didn't mention that.
Okay, well, that
I mean,
happened.
There's not really a whole lot to talk about because, you know.
We've talked about him when it was still technically a rumor.
Sure. Apparently details are coming out. Like, he's getting paid like a main roster guy, but to work on NXT.
Yeah.
Which is good for him. And honestly, he'll get used a lot better on NXT than he will on the main roster. So, by all means, collect your chips and stay where you are, bro.
Yeah.
Because... it's still the rumor matches him versus Sami Zayn and NXT Dallas, and I'm completely okay with that. Yeah.
Other important contracts that were apparently signed this week. WWE stars are going to be in Surf's Up 2.
Oh, I was sitting there like, where is he getting? I completely blinked out on this. What are you talking about? Oh, F words.
In other news, Surf's Up 2 is happening.
What was Surf's Up 1?
It was like right after Happy Feet came out, and so
it was one of those like weird knockoff things that go to Netflix.
Like, yeah, it was in theaters, but it was like they took out tap dancing and put in surfing for the penguins to do. So Shia LaBeouf was in it, was a voice in it.
Is he in this one?
I don't know. I will say I don't know if so. It's called Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania. So yeah, I know. So. I don't know if WWE Films is actually having any sort of producing stake in this.
No, it's a WWE Studios.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah. Considering it's basically, you know, everybody that did a voice in Scooby-Doo or whatever is on this project.
Yeah, so McMahon, Cena, Triple H, Paige, and The Undertaker. The Undertaker.
Are they going to call him Undercurrent?
No, because it's got to be a penguin pun. He's got to be like the you know.
Well, I know, but they can still call him Undercurrent because he's a surfing penguin.
I don't know. I never saw Surf's Up 1. I'll be honest. That one slipped past me in the plethora of films.
I know this is going to shock a lot of you, but neither have I. I know like it was kind of like up in the air when I didn't know that Surf's Up 1 was a thing that even happened. But no, I did not see it.
So...
you watch it and let me know how it is, and I won't.
Yeah, like, okay, it's goofy, silly, whatever, but, like, honestly, this is such a weird thing to happen.
I mean, it's like, I looked at it and was like, oh, it's just like the Scooby-Doo thing, like...
Well, the Scooby-Doo thing is, like, Scooby-Doo, it's...
Well, yeah, Scooby-Doo, like, is known for, like, having special guests.
Yeah, and it's this thing where, you know... Scooby-Doo's a well-known, you know, property, as is Flintstones.
Sure.
And both of those are done by Hanna-Barbera, so, like, you get one, you can do the other one pretty easily.
Sure.
But, like...
This is it's a weird thing for WWE Studios to take on.
Yeah, and, like...
Considering, like, their bread and butter is, like, really bad comedies, but mostly horror.
Yeah, but it's kind of a who approached who in this situation.
Yeah, like, hey, let's take this, like, little to not at all known entity.
Yeah.
And
that came
let's make
out,
a sequel to it.
That came out, I think, 10 years ago. Maybe 9.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But, like, the Surf's Up franchise is not a thriving industry. Like, Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery... You know, was one of multiple Scooby-Doo movies that came out that year.
It's like if... It's like if WWE Studios decided to make Lost in Space 2.
Yeah!
And starring WWE superstars on a spaceship. And Matt LeBlanc, because what else is he doing?
Yeah, like, no, Matt LeBlanc and Gary Oldman crash land.
Gary Oldman might be a lot of money to get. They might not be. Maybe they can get William Hurt.
What if, like, it's still in his contract, though?
That he has to be in Lost in Space 2?
Yeah, obligated for the Lost in Space.
Oh, man. Well, I mean...
And, like, they crash land on, like, a battle world planet and populated entirely by aliens that look suspiciously like WWE wrestlers. And The Rock, because he was the wrestler alien in that one episode of Deep Space Nine.
True. And maybe we can get... Tom Hardy, because him and Gary Oldman are really close friends.
Yeah, that's a
stretch. They're in, like, every movie together.
Now you're being silly.
Oh, excuse me. I have caused this entire thing to go off the rails.
But it's... I mean, it's kind of this weird look into other ventures that WWE... Because and there's no real secret that, like, you know, Vince McMahon is begrudging that wrestling's what pays the bills
sure.
for the entertainment and mostly movie company Although that he wants to make.
It does seem like, I don't know, it seems like WWE Studios has kind of, like, taken a back seat lately. You know, you had the Dean Ambrose movie, and you've had a couple others, but they're not really, like, in your face about it anymore.
I think it's the network. I think the network has taken a lot of time. Like, if you look when the network really started up,
yeah.
that's when, like, the – when we were having, like, the exclusive at Walmart things every 6 weeks or so, there was right. a new WWE movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole thing kind of tapered down as – I think the network took a lot of their attention and probably a lot of their money
yeah.
was in trying to kick this network off in some kind of reasonable way. So that kind of took
their attention.
I would, yeah, that's my hypothesis. And they are somewhat, I mean, they are making original network shows.
Sure.
A lot of them are documentary style, which aren't that expensive to make. Edge and Christian show that Total Weeks of Awesomeness is probably not very expensive to make.
No. The one that they film in their basement? No.
Yeah.
I did watch a full episode today. It's the latest one. Actually, wasn't that bad.
Was that the one with the mean tweets thing on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a nice jab at Sonny at the end.
Oh, really?
It was like this episode was brought. It was like at the very tail end, and I think it was the Fink doing the voiceover, and it was like, you know, this episode was brought to you by Sunny Drops and like eye drops, and like one of the it was listing off the side effects, and one of them was multiple DUIs. I was like, oh man, oh that felt good. Oh, I hate it. I hate this show, but that was a good one.
So it reminds me of, there's a lot of, like, you know, late night gimmicks. Like, Mean Tweets is a good example from sure. Jimmy Kimmel. And then Jimmy Fallon has a lot of the, like, two truths and a lie thing. And, like, you know, these recurring yeah. late night games. And so there is kind of this, like, yeah, I would see that, but with my wrestling, you know, characters in there. So I kind of get where that appeal is, but, like... Mm-hmm. It's kind of like they don't quite 100% haven't figured out exactly what makes those things click or work or magical.
Right.
And, like, the mean tweets thing is part of it is, like, yeah, they read this tweet from this random nobody and it doesn't hurt that bad because, you know, the bulletproof shield made entirely of money that they have.
Sure, yeah.
And so, like, then on WWE's, they, like, actually... like, wanted to, like, break down why the tweet didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not quite the joke. Like, you're close to the joke.
Right.
Like, you get that there is a joke, and you get, like...
And you get that people like watching this.
Yeah.
So...
You even get where in the segment the joke happens.
Right.
But, like, you don't quite... So close.
But there's still something off about it.
Yeah. And it does remind me of those late-night shows, which... have always been best viewed as clips that somebody I knew in high school posted on Facebook and noticing, it's 3 minutes, I can watch that.
Right.
So that's probably the best way to watch the Edge and Christian show.
Three-minute segments that people randomly post on Facebook?
Yeah. I mean, and the people will be WWE's Facebook sure. page.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, post your best 3 minutes. I can do that. I would probably...
Yeah. You know, that being said... Unless I see a 3 minute clip that's pretty hilarious, I'm probably not gonna watch it again.
No, I mean.
But then again, I said last week that I probably was never gonna watch it. Period. And look at me now. I failed.
I mean, it fits nicely in the it's harmless kind of thing.
Sure. Oh yeah.
They are doing the Camp WWE, which I'm guessing is probably their most expensive thing to date.
For a network.
Show. And, like, I haven't seen it, so I could be woefully wrong.
You know,
on that,
like,
but...
they use, like, actual, like, reality TV crews for Breaking Ground. So they got William Shatner to
narrate it.
So I'm pretty sure they've invested plenty of money in that.
Yeah, I don't think they spend nothing on those, but.
Sure.
Like, compare it to, like, the House of Cards budget. You know?
Fair
enough, yeah. What, said Game of Thrones was, and Game of Thrones is the most expensive show, but it's like, what, $50, $60 million an episode, they said?
I assume so, yeah.
So, yeah, we're not.
I wonder if they're ever going to put WB Studio movies on the network. I figured they could at this point.
Well, I don't know. There's probably not a lot that are entirely WWE Studios owned.
Sure.
Like, a lot of them are WWE Studios in association with Twisted Pictures or Lionsgate or...
Sure. So they might not have exclusive distribution rights and blah, 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 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. However, some of the newer ones, they might be doing it with an eyeball to, you know...
Put on the network. Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing where, like... Yeah, I get the network.
It can be their own Netflix of crappy movies.
Well, the network is something worth getting to someone because they are a wrestling fan.
Sure.
So I'm not wildly interested in a whole lot of
it would be a non-wrestling like, stuff. Tertiary reason to have the network.
Yeah. So if you're,
it definitely is not a main drawing.
Yeah. So if it's going to cost them a lot more in like you know in financing a movie.
Yeah. It would be able to get to do that. Like, additional content to throw on the live feed once in a while.
Yeah. You
know, when they kind of have enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly adding more with new, with more actual wrestling shows.
Yeah. I'm still
curious on when they're going to add the Raw shows from like 2011 or 2000, I think 2011, 2010. Because for some reason they're still not on there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, and I'm not saying like anything specific about those years in particular, but there are these like large gaps in the Raw timeline.
Yeah.
And SmackDown too, I believe. It's just like, what are they holding on to?
I don't know. And it might be a rights thing, you know, for some reason. Those might be the years that it aired on Spike or something, and so...
Well, not 2010, 2011.
Is that... But do you know that's what's... Because my first thought, when like, looking through them, I'm like...
I believe they were on Spike maybe 2006, I think?
I don't know.
I think those... I don't think those Spike ones are on the network either, I don't think. But yeah, no, 2010, 2011 was definitely USA.
Yeah. But it could be that, or it could be... I mean, 2010-11 was after Benoit, so...
Like three years after, yeah.
So it wouldn't be anything related to him.
No, I'm assuming they're just never going to put the memorial episode up.
Oh, no.
Like, there's no reason to.
It's like that and, like, you know, Owen Hart dying, like, you know.
That... They don't acknowledge it on that pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that pay-per-view's on there, but, like, that was filmed live. They have that footage, but there's no reason to put that footage on the network.
No.
And I don't, like...
No one's clamoring for that, or no one should be clamoring for that.
Yeah.
for some reason, I thought you were talking about Raw as Owen. I'm like, yeah, absolutely put that one on there.
Oh, yeah, no, that's totally different. Yeah, okay. But, like, that footage and, like, yeah, the Benoit Memorial episode, you know what?
That one's just like, oh, it was a best of... Benoit thing anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, it had...
I remember when that came on live, because I clearly wasn't big into, you know, online message boards or anything at that point, so, like, watching it, that was me first hearing about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, after a while, I was like, oh, it's a... Like, the situation's really sad, but it's a clip show, so I'm gonna watch something else. You know?
I mean, they had original footage that was... People talking about Benoit.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, there's no reason to put up those nice things that people said about him.
Ew.
And I understand that. And
it's not going to be a Chris Benoit Collections thing that they're doing now.
No, I mean, just no.
No.
And don't be the jerk that says there needs to be.
Ugh, yeah. Now, if you're one of those jerks that has to, like, bring up the Benoit thing, like, every... week or whatever, you can stop listening to our podcast, please and thank you, because you make us look bad. You and the people that are still clinging to the what chants, you can politely go die in a fire.
I don't mind the what chants, like they're not my favorite.
They're The people that do the what chants find the worst opportunities to do that. Like people who are wedding the Daniel Bryan retirement speech. People obviously. Who are wedding during someone's Hall of Fame
the really loud three people trying to start a what chant
can go die in a fire.
Yeah. The
people that pile on are lemmings that can be badly burned in a fire, but they don't have to die.
You got
me to compromise.
I like that chants exist beyond the wrestler that created them. I like that the yes chant will continue.
Sure.
I like that it's not a lot of them. Like, we don't have to chant, you know, crazy stuff, Ring of Honor stuff.
Those are fun, though. those are fun to listen to. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. They're simple.
The Ring of Honor chants get really close to, I'm not here to enjoy the show, I'm here to be the show.
Right. Yeah.
And so,
which is, you know, we've had this discussion plenty of times, because that's kind of what the Raw after WrestleMania kind of has turned into.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
audiences who have been trying to replicate that since.
Yeah. And there's like, there is a, you paid your ticket, so you get to do what you want, but like.
But you're kind of marking out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And other people who actually want to see the show paid their tickets, and they're from Europe and not going to be seeing another Raw this year.
Europeans are helping with the chance.
Yeah, so, like, but there's, like, probably some little kid who's still, like, fully enriched in KFAB and just wants to be excited to see some people, and he can't because they're singing I Dream of Jeannie, because it's totally transformed from Fandango to I Dream of Jeannie at this point.
I mean, he's not on the show, so it might as well be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, what's his name? R-Truth used the what chants. It was well done.
Yeah. It didn't stop them or anything.
No. Michael Cole used the what chants. It was well done. With the anonymous GM. Like, back when that was still working.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the appropriate pause and the what chant.
Okay.
Say line, appropriate pause, what chant.
But he would, because that's,
that is a good,
because that's what Stone Cold has said, you know, because a lot of people will give him a lot of flack for starting it, you know. But he's like, well, if they're doing it, all you have to do is speed up your cadence so they don't what you in between every word. And then they, whenever you're actually, like, an actual deliberate pause, then they can what or whatever, and eventually they'll get bored of it.
Yeah, with like the GM thing, what is a good, uniform, organized way to show your disrespect to a heel?
What?
You doing that on purpose?
Yeah.
Like a jerk?
I guess I can go die to fire it up. but yeah.
So, I don't mind it. I do mind, but like the people that like, this is a good time to chant what? No, it's not. The people that chant Husky Harris when Bray Wyatt comes out.
It's just like, yeah, no, we all get it.
We all know. Yeah, you're not special. Yeah. You're not the guy saying the Emperor has no clothes. Like, we all know what's going on.
It's like, congratulations, Deep Throat, you uncovered the mystery. yay for you.
So, and same thing for, like, Skip Sheffield and, like, any, like, you know, Isaac Yankum or whatever you want to, like, he was that guy.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's like, we all get it. Yeah, Godfather's Papa Shango. Congratulations.
So, and, like, use your This Is Awesome chants wisely. Like, I'm not going to condemn you for overusing it.
Yeah, I'm not quite on the This Is Awesome people can go die in a fire.
But, like,
I save that for what people. Because there's a lot of overlap, let's be honest.
There are several.
But they have gotten quite liberal with it.
There are several This Is Awesome chants that need a, is it, though, in the middle of those claps.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, if they can just, like, get with the time, or if they can just get with the program, like, you know, the Europeans, because the NXT London show, that was chanting brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, a little bit was, like, okay, they're kind of taking over the show a little bit, but they're clearly still appreciating the majority of the show. There were times where it was like, okay, you guys are, it's a little much, but by and large, it was just impressive.
Chants, you can chant as much as you want.
Sure, yeah.
As long as the chants are relevant to what's happening in the ring.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a vague rule of thumb, and there will always be disagreement on what is relevant.
Right.
Because, you know, somebody will say, that's Husky Harris, and he's in the ring right now, and so I can chant that and trumpet. And no, it's not it. No, shut up.
Yeah.
But, you know what, like, if you honestly believe something's awesome, chant this is awesome. Like, right. We can disagree on that, but chant it to your heart's content. If you were, if what is happening in the ring is awesome to you, chant away.
It's like, and a lot of it is like, you know, a lot of the argument is, you know, well, I paid my money, I can do what I want, and I can, you know, whatever. There's kind of a comparison that I like to make, because Rooster Teeth, they did a video game competition thing called The Gauntlet, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one week they were playing, you know, Smite. And one of the other contestants, like, was making, like, so one of, you know, one of them was really into it, and then one of the other contestants was just like, okay, but at least I don't play Smite. And the other person just, like, shot her down completely. It was like, yeah, you're in a video game playing tournament, so shut up. You know? So, yeah. That's kind of how I think about it.
Yeah.
It's like we're all kind of nerds here, so how about to just calm down?
Yeah. I mean, we are. So, but this is all big roundabout way to say, don't chant Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Oh, what was it? It was a NXT Brooklyn. Like, that, it didn't make it to the actual taping or anything, but, you know, Triple H was trying to get everybody quiet for that opening thing for the actual stream, and that wasn't going to happen clearly, but when he was trying to through that process, when he was trying to get everybody quiet, like, people were like, like three people were trying to do the Chris Benoit chant, and like Triple H just like, stop it, just don't.
Yeah.
You're embarrassing yourselves, stop it.
Yeah.
I still think, because the lights were out completely, I still think you could have done that without the crowd there. You could have just taped it, all the lights were down.
Yeah.
Or just have it at black with a voiceover from Triple H to make it sound like he's there or whatever. And then lights up, hey, everybody's here.
Yeah.
There was ways around that.
You know what? You can chant CM Punk, which is still a dumb thing at this point. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
But you can do that and still get the same point across as your stupid Chris Benoit chant. And be...
Well,
10% less of a jerk.
Sure. I mean, Chris or CM Punk isn't a murderer. So,
I mean,
by that aspect, yes, that would be a better chant.
Well, I mean, but if you're chanting Chris Benoit, you're trying to, like, acknowledge, I'm edgy and I'm acknowledging what you want to ignore. Is it, you know, da da da, I'm relevant. And CM Punk does the set, gets you that same rebel rascal feeling, and you're still a giant fat jerk. But sure. You're 10% less of a giant fat jerk.
It's like, another universe situation. It's like, hey, people really like this Deadpool movie because it's rated R. So let's just make trashy rated R movies for comic books. You know, like that whole argument. It's like, no, we like Deadpool because it was
good,
original and good and fun.
Like, make more good movies, I'll go watch them.
And it wasn't, like, you know, it wasn't creatively stifled by a PG-13 or a PG rating.
Yeah.
You know? Trash for trash sakes is still trash.
Yes.
Which is how I feel about Chris Benoit chants.
Yeah.
Those people can also die in a fire.
So, so...
Don't everybody in the fire today.
Don't be a jerk.
So don't be a jerk. I feel like we need to talk about what's making us happy now.
What's making you happy?
Oh, man. So many things, I guess, that I hadn't thought about. We didn't do it last week, and last week was clearly like, I had a birthday, it was fun, but it's been a week since then, so it's like, I can't really
ride
that wave anymore. Oh, yeah, here we go. House of Cards Season 4 is coming this Friday, so I can totally ride that wave instead of my birthday.
Right.
What's making you happy, buddy?
Well, after 9 to 10 long years, we're finally getting a continuation in the Surf's Up saga.
Hate you so much, you jerk. But good joke.
Ah, what's making me happy for realsies? I don't know.
I was gonna be like, you didn't have to do any work on Saturday. We both got a day off. Inside jokes.
I entertained myself just now with my Surf's Up comedy. Comedy.
Comedy. Comedy. Wow. All right, that's like your exclamation at the Super Bowl that you can't repeat right now. But man, was it funny!
All right, anything else?
Oh man, so many comedic things to say.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Tire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe, get a new episode every week. Give us a rating of
5 commies
or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, easy way to just follow the podcast in general, see kind of what other things we're doing.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!